Well, I have only been inside a prison once in my life. It was about 6 months ago. And I went to this prison to be part of a special worship service that comes at the end of a weekend of ministry with the inmates, or residents, as I learned to call them. But people from the outside have spent the weekend with people on the inside, listening to stories, listening to talks, learning songs, sharing what God has done in their life. And now, of course, these volunteers from the outside leave the prison each day and they go back to their homes. But on the last day of the weekend, the volunteers return for this big closing ceremony, and with them, they bring friends and family and church folks just for this closing time of worship, so that more and more people from the outside are able to witness what God is doing on the inside. So first you go through security, kind of like you do in an airport, and then a guard up in a tower buzzes you through a gate, and they watch you walk for a little bit, and then that guard in the tower buzzes you through a second gate, and you enter a lobby area, and you gather with all the other outsiders who are there for closing worship. Now, this whole thing is known as Kairos, Kairos Prison Ministry. Kairos because it's the Greek word for time, but it's not like Chronos, the kind of time that you can measure in seconds and minutes and hours and years. But this is a time that's defined by what happens in it. It's not in the usual ways that we measure. It's like when you say the time is ripe, or it's time to tell the truth. It's the fullness of time. It's God's special time, Kairos. And as we waited there in the lobby, I noticed a grandfather clock in the corner, and wouldn't you know, the clock was stopped. No second hand or minute hand went around its face. It even had a place where it could tell you what day of the month it was. It had the numbers 1 through 31 for an arrow to point to, but there was no arrow. Well, finally, a guard came to escort us to our next location, and we lined up and we passed through one door which closed behind us, so we were all corralled into this little room, and up above, through two-way mirrors, these guards gazed down on us while we crowded in the chamber. And there was a woman in front of me, and she said, "Oh, I don't like that door closing." I studied this nervous woman for a bit. She was blonde and tall, and she was wearing a pink and green paisley dress with heels. And her companion reassured her, "It'll open again. You don't have to worry. That door will open again." So the rest of us shuffled around in this chamber and tried not to bump each other too much while we waited for the next gate to open. And I just remember standing there, fuming, thinking about this prissy, blonde, spoiled little rich girl. How dare she voice her fears that that door wouldn't open again? There we stood in this chamber, and we could see through glass windows into the visiting room where inmates were at tables with their relatives, and people were staring back at us, this huge mass of visitors all at once. But how could this blonde girl complain while looking directly into the eyes of women for whom that door would not open? Maybe not soon, maybe not ever. Why do we do this? She represented everything that makes me mad about myself and about people like me when we just don't realize our many blessings or even our unfair privilege when there's all this other suffering going on. I'm sorry, I know that's getting pessimistic, but it was the one fly in the ointment of what turned out to be an incredible day. And of course, I didn't say any of that to this woman, but I just shook my head. A guard finally released us from the holding chamber and led us past those visitors at tables down hallways with the narrowest of windows. I assume they just didn't want them to be wide enough for a body to pass through. Windows that were smudged and steamy so that even if they were wide enough, you couldn't really look through them. And we went to an auditorium where we were told to sit on the volunteers' side and not to interact with the residents who would be directly across the aisle from us, all the women who had just been through the weekend program, and then residents all around us in the bleachers. We were not supposed to interact with them, but most people ignored this warning. Instead, they held out hands, and they grinned, and they laughed, recognizing inmates who had gone through Kairos before, women they had already developed relationships with. I stayed silent and took my seat. Some of the volunteers who had been there the whole weekend tried to skirt the rules by mouthing words to inmates across the way, to women who were gradually taking their place in the bleachers. They'd say, "This is my husband." And they'd point to one of the guys who had shuffled in with our crowd. And then there would be more grins and waves. And for his part, the husband would whisper to his wife, "They told us we're not supposed to interact with them." Well, finally, the program began, and of course, it was amazing to hear everyone combine their voices like that and sing to God and to witness these transformed lives. It is one of the most profound worship experiences you could ever have. So after the testimonies and the songs and the applause for each and every graduate of the program, then came the best part of the day. The leader announced that they had two women from the outside who had actually been through Kairos on the inside when they themselves had been inmates in prison, and they asked for one to stand, and she rose from among our chairs, and the roar in that gymnasium was deafening. The woman just wept, and she had her hand over her mouth, and she turned to see all the residents in the bleachers, and the applause just went on and on. When she finally sat down again, a second woman's name was called, and she stood from where she'd been sitting among us. It was the blonde woman in the pink and green paisley dress. When that door closes, I'm just so afraid it's not going to open again, she had said. And I had scoffed. So she wept with her hand over her mouth, turning to look around her at all the women she had left behind. She who had once been in the bleachers with the other residents was now in the chairs with the volunteers on the other side. At the end of the afternoon, we were led from the gymnasium down the hallway through the visitor lounge with the tables into that chamber where we were packed again, and guards again looked down on us from the two-way mirrors. One door had closed behind us, and the door in front of us remained closed. But finally it opened, and we went through the lobby and out into the hot sun through two more gates plus security before finally being free. And I watched both of those women, the women who had stood up, I watched both of them get into their cars and drive away. I tell that story because I dare say that was a time when Jesus was walking beside me, but my eyes were kept from recognizing him. So let's go back to the scripture passage in which two friends of Jesus were walking together at the end of a weekend, but not just any weekend. It was Holy Weekend, those 3 days of God's special time. And the story picks up on Easter evening. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And this keeps getting repeated throughout the story. Verse 16, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Verse 24, they did not see him. Verse 37, they thought they were seeing a ghost. Over and over, their eyes are kept from recognizing him. Yeah, it's pretty hard to recognize Jesus right beside you. While crowded in a chamber in a prison, I had a woman right beside me who was a walking embodiment of redemption and second chances and new hope and God's faithfulness. But did I see it? Could I see Jesus in a prisoner? And while two friends of Jesus walked along a road, they had a man right beside them who was a walking embodiment of redemption and new life and God's surprises. But did they see it? Could they see Jesus in the stranger? Maybe when we look for the Easter Jesus, we're looking for some ethereal, lofty, gauzy, celestial being, forgetting that after the resurrection, he shows up in flesh and bones, walking on the dirt, breaking bread, sitting at a table, even eating a piece of broiled fish. He shows up in our lives still today, but it's in flesh and bones. In the broken lives of people all around us, in a prison, in a hospice house, in a foster home, in a courtroom. Our eyes don't recognize him though. So he has to say again and again, look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. I guess the Spirit of Christ always shows up in the flesh, even in the pink paisley dress. The words of Jesus that we're focusing on today as part of our worship series on the first words he says after death are the words, "Why are you frightened?" And this is what he says to his friends at the end of the story because they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened?" And he's right to ask that. Why are you frightened? Because if they're afraid that the death of Jesus means that he won't be with them anymore, they're wrong. If they're afraid that the movement is over and that the ministry won't carry on, that's not true. If they're afraid that they're going to have to go back to their old routines, go back to their old lives as if they'd never met Jesus, there's no way. Because Easter shows that life triumphs and the movement continues and our lives will never be the same. So why are you frightened? Jesus is right here. He is right beside us just as he was right beside them. He comes to us in flesh and bones with hands and feet for us to touch and see. He comes to us as we walk the road of life, often when we don't even recognize him. So don't be frightened. We don't have to be scared of anything, except that we might miss him. Will you pray with me? Oh, Lord, we don't want to miss you. We want to see you. We want to see you because we know that you are walking right beside us. So open our eyes. Speak to us. Help us touch you. Lord, we know that you are right here and that you're not going anywhere. We thank you. Amen.